Hey, I'm just a guy on the internet, and welcome back to my show. Today we'll be talking about what happened with, you know, traditional media, let's call it, you know, when dinosaurs roamed the earth. So, for a long, long time, we had newspapers, that was basically it. You know, there's some other stuff, there's radio shows, things like that, but that was kind of like the gold standard in information in the United States. Eventually, though, in the 90s, they decided they were going to try cable as a way for news. I mean, they'd been doing local news that way, but local news is just an hour a day because there just wasn't that much stuff happening in a day to fill a 24-hour cycle. But they know they kicked it off with CNN, and CNN was followed by Fox. There's all these different networks trying to push out 24 hours of news. And if we're being really, really honest, there aren't 24 hours of news worth of stuff happening in the day that I think most Americans would be really interested in. So they had to kind of fill the airtime with, you know, a lot of commentary and talking heads yelling at each other and drama. I know that a lot of traditional media criticizes new media podcasts and YouTube and streamers, but, you know, they were, I think, who started the whole drama as a form of content thing. You know, they used to have those, you know, you would see it, there's four different people on the screen, each with their own little cubicle yelling at each other about this or that. I don't think it's all that different now. But there was also a lot of financial incentives to this, so they could get cable fees, and on top of that, they could pick up all these advertising fees. And now you go on Fox or CNN or whatever it is, MSNBC, and you would see like 20 commercials about drugs, you know, like, oh, Tremfya or something. And then you would see, you know, car commercials, and all these different businesses were funding, along with the cable companies, were funding than 24-hour news sites, which made kind of TV stars, and then it became a path to fame. And I think a lot of people were really into it for a while, and it had a huge effect in our culture. Huge. You know, it's not wrong to say that they had a pretty big hand in who got elected. I think maybe a little too much of a hand in, you know, the way how people looked at it. But I think that this was always a structure that just wasn't going to be sustainable, especially after the internet. So, just even coming from that as a standpoint that it is kind of fun and it's interesting and people are getting their views heard, I think it was sort of a way to try to show a very narrow band of politics as sort of all-encompassing, you know. So people would they'd rant and they'd rave at each other, but it was always sort of within the bounds of a certain discourse. And you can say, you know, that was helpful in serving the American people for a while, but, you know, all things come to an end. And I think that the media, traditional media, used to try to put on sort of the patina, let's say, like they wanted an aura of respectability and impartiality. And that was, you know, so they eventually became sort of a tradition, even though, again, they popped up in the 90s. And, you know, of course, you know, gyms and airports, places like that, you kind of couldn't escape it in some ways. But that credibility sort of started to be spent as it became more apparent that one media network was in the tank for a specific party or a specific candidate. I actually think Fox didn't do as badly in this because they were very open from the start. You know, they used to say fair and balanced, but I don't know if anybody, you know, 100% believe that. They had some good people on there, just like CNN did. But I think they were, just like MSNBC, more open about, you know, I'm in favor of conservative this, or I'm in favor of liberal that. So they had like a bank of credibility, but every time they got something wrong or really wrong, or every time they put their thumb on the scale and got caught, and with the internet, they just couldn't hide it anymore, you know. I think that's good. I think we should see what's going on out there. And so sort of the window of discourse, what people are allowed to say and what people are listening to, just kept getting broader and broader, and they kind of stayed the same. I'm also not sure how compatible it was to have, you know, these big businesses, whether it was Buick or, you know, Pharma or whoever it is, paying for the news, because they're going to have interest. They're going to have stuff they want on the air and not on the air. And then on top of that, you know, as the anchors became kind of personalities, you know, like mini TV stars, came very cliquish. They started, you know, rubbing shoulders with Hollywood, and they sort of became personalities themselves instead of just reporting on them. So I remember one of the big networks got a scoop on the Harvey Weinstein story, and they quashed it because they didn't want to make him mad. You know, it took a Ronan Farrow and all those women coming forward, you know, props to them, because wow, that was a tough one. And to bring it to light and finally see some justice for it. So this was always a structure that wasn't going to hold, and every time they sort of distorted the truth, whether it was one way or the other, left or right, they spent more and more of that credibility they had from all those years of reporting on, you know, train crashes and 9/11 and wars. And they just, I don't think they realized what was happening. I don't think they knew they were kind of pushing themselves toward, you know, TV grave. But they did, and I think this is sort of, the election now is when the dam just broke open, when you couldn't hide it anymore. They kind of kept the audience going with this view of America and what was happening in the election that just wasn't true. And I think, like, for so long, their trade was respectability, but they started wanting to compete with new media and online outlets and trying to be first and have the spicy takes, but that was just kind of the total opposite of what people were looking for from them. They were looking for, like, steady Eddie, just, you know, in the middle and just the facts. And I think that this is kind of an overall issue, is that people don't want to be told what to think. They just, you know, and I don't think it's right to tell people what to think. I just think, you know, here's my take, here's some of the facts, and you think what you want, and regardless of your takeaway, you know, it's yours, and I don't got the right to tell you if it's right or wrong, and nobody does. So I think that they started to view themselves as gatekeepers, as sort of like priests in some kind of like news cult or something. I mean, maybe that's too far, but you know, it started to get kind of weird, and then Trump came along, and they just kind of lost it. They started presenting a view of the world that just wasn't there. I mean, regardless if you like Trump, you don't like Trump, it's almost besides the point. The point was that they just sort of gave up on that patina of objectivity. And without it, they're just TV personalities. You know, the line between commentary and fear-mongering, that's the real bad part. You know, constantly telling people the sky is falling. I mean, that was part of their business model, so I understand it. But that ain't that healthy. I mean, I get it. You know, job's a job, but still, that ain't great. So I think that all led to like this critical moment where the version of reality, regardless of where you were on the spectrum, you know, right or left or wherever, center, just collapsed. And it collapsed in such a huge and final way. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was like watching an airplane that had just been kind of chugging along and struggling just crash. And I think that's, you know, it's going to be weird for a while, but I think that, and I do feel badly for the people that work there, but I think they're going to have to really change what they do, or, I mean, just kind of accept it, and that's okay too. So the democratization of information, of media, is going to just keep rolling forward, and I think it's a good thing. Everybody with a cell phone is a reporter. And in this election cycle, we heard from more people than ever before, more viewpoints than ever before. We had a lot of young men expressing themselves for the first time maybe ever in it, like a mass public way. And I think that's a great thing. I think that if we just keep going and we have a little hope and a little faith, we're going to see that our discourse, although it's going to be kind of choppy for a while, the discourse we have will eventually start to resemble the world that we actually live in. I think that's pretty damn valuable. All right, this has been my podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you got something out of it. Remember to like, share, and subscribe, and have a good one. All right, I'm out. Bye.